Good morning. I asked Father Matthew for this time, this Advent season, to speak to you about my trip to Haiti and the effect it had on me and my faith. I love this church, St. Matthew's. There's so many people here who have influenced me and shaped my life. Some of my closest friends are members here, and during difficult personal and societal times, I have learned to resolve conflicts with grace here. The Episcopal faith strengthens me and guides me, but more than that, this place embraces me and ties me to those who worshiped here before me and who will worship here after me. A few years ago, during a stewardship drive, Walt Breach asked us to imagine St. Matthew's without people and in disuse, empty of life. The thing is, St. Matthew's will always have life. It will always have Walt Wheeler singing and laughing and giving the peace. Gwida Brown said during her stewardship talk that this is her church family. Long after we are all gone, this will still be her church family. Many years from now, she may not be present in body, but her spirit and the spirit of others will be here forever. They are in the air, in the pews, and the prayer books. My family is a part of St. Matthew's. Frank has gone off to college and may never be a member of this church again, but he and his brother are a part of this place and will be forever. Christmas Eve will always be St. Matthew's with Jenny and Frank and Will holding candles and singing Silent Night, even if it never happens again. Why? Why is this true? The answer for me is in today's epistle. Rejoice in the Lord always. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 150 years ago, people of faith built this church for themselves and those that follow, so that we all might find the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. By now, you wonder what any of this has to do with Haiti and the Haiti Project. Right now, in Jeannette, Haiti, this epistle is happening. And I saw it and felt it with my own eyes and heart. A common statement made to me upon my return was what a wonderful thing I had done, as if I had given something or done something for the people of Jeannette. To the contrary, they have given me something. They have validated my faith and given me hope for the future. Haiti has a fascinating history. It was discovered by Columbus in 1492, who claimed the island for Spain. Spain soon lost interest in it when gold and silver were found elsewhere in Latin America. By 1665, France had claimed the western region of the colony. The French drew their wealth from the sugar trade in Haiti. But the driver of that industry was slavery. 40,000 slaves a year were imported, and the conditions with which they were treated were horrific. A slave revolt began in the 1790s, and by 1804, the revolution gained their independence from France. The negotiated peace with France included reparations that caused Haiti to run up huge debts with American and European banks. At one point, 80% of the country's national budget went to paying off the debt. Haitian leaders gave up trying to bring back the economy and instead began to loot the government. The low point came with the dictatorships of the Duvaliers, Papa Doc and Baby Doc, which lasted 30 years and was marked by mass killings and unimaginable theft. Some estimate that when Baby Doc fled the country in 1986, he took with him $900 million. At about the same time that Baby Doc fled the country, the Haitian Project was born. When a couple of Episcopal bishops and a young woman accompanying them on a walk through the beautiful countryside were approached by an old woman with a small child by her side. They were asked by the old woman to educate the small child, her granddaughter. The scope of that request is hard to quantify from somebody from America. Things we in America take for granted are scarce in Haiti. Electricity, roads, water, much less drinkable water, fuel for cooking, those are valued commodities in Jeannette. Shoes, clothing, books, and food are in short supply. Transportation is by foot. That's the reality of day-to-day living. To contemplate educating a young girl with no family support other than a poor old woman was a daunting request. But a request, a prayer, was all that was needed to bring forth an extraordinary community. I don't know what that small community was before St. Mark's Parish was formed. I know that a strong work ethic must have been there. A love of children and community must also have existed. I know that the people there were not even Episcopalians or Christians, necessarily, but that God was there. I know that because God is there now. St. Mark's was and is the coalescing community that demonstrates God's presence. The hardship did not end in Haiti after Baby Doc's departure. Crushing poverty and decades of political corruption had destroyed the economy. Overpopulation with no infrastructure to accommodate so many people and no resources to create an infrastructure were and are ongoing issues. The island's deforestation that began back in the 1600s with the sugar plantations has had an enormously negative effect on the island. On top of all this, in January of 2010, the island was devastated by an earthquake that left destruction and death in its wake. Estimates range from 100 to 250,000 deaths and as many destroyed buildings are still evident everywhere in Haiti. In the U.S., when the earthquake hit, calls were made to the little parish of St. Mark's to find out if they had survived and what we could do to help. Their replies were not sadness and self-pity. They were ones of thanks because they knew that the people of the Milwaukee Diocese were praying for them and that those prayers had kept them safe. By then, the Haiti Project was in its third decade, and the people of St. Mark's knew that we would be with them and support them regardless. There was damage, but the damage was repaired, and the mission continued and continues. St. Mark's School sits on the side of a hill that looks out over a valley. Down the mountain is a large lake, and further off in the distance is the ocean. There are several buildings that make up the school. A preschool is housed in the same building as a computer lab. The secondary school, which is based off the French model of high school and goes through grades 13, is off to the left of the preschool, and between them is a playground. About 50 yards to the east is a basketball court, which doubles as a soccer field and a recreation area. Next to that is a dormitory that houses some of the school teachers. To the east of the dormitory is an elementary school and an administrator's office. The buildings are all brightly painted and are made of cement with stucco walls. Dogs and chickens run around the buildings and grounds throughout the day. The children all wear school uniforms. Preschool children wear shirts of pink, elementary school children wear green shirts, and secondary children wear yellow shirts. The children have breaks at different times during the day, and the laughter is that which you would hear in any schoolyard. During these breaks, the children would cluster around us, bright-eyed and quizzical. As one of the Haiti Project advisors told me, you're the only circus in town. The children want to touch you, hold your hand, pat your shoulder, share a laugh, run and play. They unabashedly practice English while you practice your Creole. Three days a week, the children are fed a simple lunch of rice and beans. Meals are a great drawing card in that families know that on those days, their children will eat. Why not 5 days a week? When asked, Père Lenore, the priest replied, we can't afford 5 days a week. There are 550 children at the school. The cost to educate one child for the school year is $250. That amount has an astounding impact on the life of the community. It isn't simply the education of one student. It has a ripple effect. The dynamic is that the people have faith in the school and the effects of education on their lives. They count on it. It's established and permanent. While the school and the well-being of the people of Jeannette are the focus of the Haiti Project, the magic of Jeannette is the church. We, my group of 11 from the Diocese of Milwaukee, were blessed to have experienced one of their Sunday services. It was like nothing I have ever experienced, and yet it was very much like St. Matthew's. It was a celebration of God and music and community. The acolytes wore their robes and processed, followed by the chalice bearers and the deacons, and finally Père Lenoir in his vestments. The lessons in gospel were delivered, followed by the sermon and the sharing of the peace. The choir sang and the musicians played. We received communion and were blessed, all in Creole. Small children fidgeted, babies cried, and mothers shushed, and everyone wore their Sunday best and sang loudly so that God would hear their joy. About a year ago, the vestry of St. Mark's made the decision to tear down the old church and build a new one. The old church was rotting and leaked when it rained. It was a small building. The congregation was packed into a space that comfortably fit about a third less, but accommodated as many as would come. After tearing down the structure, men from the community, using pickaxes and shovels, dug a foundation much larger than the old site. While the foundation was being excavated, the people of the community began carrying stones from the area to be used as the foundation for the new church. Piles of stones were gathered all around to be joined with cement as the foundation for the new building. The foundation is now complete and the walls are beginning to rise. The walls will be made of cinder block with stucco walls. It will rise two stories high with large columns inside to support the roof far above their heads. The building will dominate the area that includes the school. The church construction is not part of the Haiti Project. Haiti Project funds support the school and health-related projects. This new church is the work of Jeanette and the vestry of the church. Every Sunday service, the collection plate is passed twice. Once to support the work of the church, and again to support the building of the new church. All the work is done by hand by the people of the community. They mix concrete in small batches and haul it in 5-gallon buckets. They buy materials as funds for materials are available. And when asked how long it would take to build the new church, Père Lenoir responds, 10 years maybe. It will take as long as it takes. Père Lenoir has faith, as do the people of the community. What struck me so fully when I was there, watching those people live and work and practice their faith, was how very similar they are to us here in Kenosha. Maybe not the way we are now, but the way we were 150 years ago when St. Matthew's was built. Large rocks were brought here as the foundation for the huge columns that hold the ceiling high above our heads. Their lives are very difficult. Food and water and shelter are tenuous, but they have faith in God and in their lives, and in that faith, that trust, has given them a peace that is palpable. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is what I experienced in Jeanette, and that is what I wish for all people during this time of Advent. Amen.